Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds.
Is that because we saw the Christopher Robin trailer?
Yeah,
is
that why? Winnie the Pooh, mate. What?
Then happiness overflowed.
It really did from that accent.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
I want this accent on this show. I want happiness to overflow on the comedy.
It should. Every single episode, happiness should overflow.
Hello, episode 375.
No better way to do that.
3 and 6 pence or whatever.
3 and 6 pence?
I don't know.
Pocket full of rye?
Sure. Whatever their weird math
420 blackbirds?
Sure, of course. All of them. They're all on the show. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. We've got a lot of great movies we're going to talk about today and some not so great ones. But we'll be talking about The Hero, Justice League Dark, some interesting trailers.
Tickled, we're going to talk about.
Yes, and maybe we'll revisit Snatch for a few minutes with our guests who saw it about 100 times.
She's seen it 100 times. She's seen it 100 times.
Good for her.
Guys, also, all you Patreon backers, we're going to do record later today the bonus episode with Neil T. Weekly, weekly monthly world news review expose, or what do we call it?
That's close enough.
Sure. Yes.
Live.
Recorded at a later date.
Pre-recorded.
But it feels live.
He was already working on all the stories last night. He's ready. He's going to be here and ready to go.
So that's the drop
a little film news on
us. So if you're not a Patreon backer that gets the bonus audio content, you might want to go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
Yeah. Do the $10 level and you get it.
Eat it. Eat the $10 level.
Yes.
That doesn't seem right. What other fancy pants announcements? Los Angeles Podcast Festival, October 6th through the 8th.
Yes.
LAPodFest.com. Check that out. We keep announcing new shows. I was downtown on Sunday after my girlfriend and I went to go see the WNBA, as we often do. Fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sparks won. And we went by the...
When you say often, how often is often?
We went to 2 games this past week. We've been to 4 so far this season.
Wow, that is often.
We've seen 4 of their 11 games.
All right. Very good.
That's not often enough.
Yeah, all right. No, that passes.
Thanks. Thanks. I was hoping you would sign off.
Mathematically, I wanted to know.
on my oftenness.
Yes.
But we went down by the Biltmore. We were downtown.
Oh, yeah.
After the game, which was cool. And
where the festival's going to be.
Where the festival's going to be. She had never seen it. She posted some photos. It's awesome. It's opulent.
It is opulent.
It is opulent. The Sofitel was not opulent.
And it also has such a rich history.
It's haunted. Yes. We went into one of the ballrooms and the lights were off and it's goddamn haunted. There's no two ways.
It feels creepy.
It does feel creepy. Uh-huh. So I'm hoping that one of the podcasters, maybe me, has some sort of
experience.
Jack Nicholson freak out. You know what I mean? And there's axes. And I don't know. Right. Buy a pass, guys. You never know what's going
to
happen.
We might have to lock Graham in the freezer.
There might be twins at the end of a hallway.
There might be.
The Sklar Brothers.
It might be the Sklars,
The Sklar Brothers. Red Rom. No. Did he play for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
go to LAPodFest.com. Yep. Let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
Longtime friend, first time guest.
Finally
Nikki got Glazer. Her in here.
Yes. Hello.
Hey. We tried to get you on the show for a long time, but you were living in New York.
I was.
Now you're back on the West Coast.
West Coast. I've been here for 2 years.
Nice.
So it's not like right back, but got back yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
From the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you working?
I was, I did The Tonight Show.
Ooh.
Heard of it, Graham?
No. Do they have a podcast?
I don't know that they do. They should. Get on it. I was there for that. And and then I was in D.C. I was in D.C.
Oh, nice.
That's where I went this weekend.
How was The Tonight Show? So it was your first time doing it or you've done it before?
Third of The Tonight Show, but second time doing it with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was really good.
That's
so
cool.
Fun. I did a Jennifer Aniston impression that I've never done impressions in my set or anything, but it's just, that's it. That's it.
I love an impression. There's just a code you have to crack with an impression, mm-hmm. and once you get it, then
it's it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what kind of you're saying or doing. Like, yeah, but it's hard to crack. And that's the thing is, like, I usually just do impressions of other people's impressions.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's what most people do.
Right, because that person cracked the code.
They cracked the code, and then you just yep, yeah. yep. But no one ever accuses you of doing that. But I accuse myself of copying Vanessa Bayer's Jennifer Aniston. Put my own spin on it.
Who else was on the show with you?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Ooh.
And Kirsten Dunst.
Did you meet Kirsten?
I didn't. But she like floated past my dressing room, and everyone that I was with in the dressing room was like, "She's so beautiful," and I'm like, "I'm right here."
You should have just gone, you didn't
do Kirsten talks like this. That's my Kirsten Dunst. She talks like this.
Wow. If I close my eyes, I'm on the Tonight Show from last week.
Yeah. And then you're done. He's a lovely man. Have you met him?
No, but I hear he's very nice.
He's so nice. Yeah. He doesn't like Hillary, and so I kind of don't care for her. He says mean things about her every time we talk, but
he deliberately brings it up.
Well, just once, I guess. And then this other time, yeah, it's just sticks in my craw.
Yeah. Get her done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think his $5 million in get her done merchandise is what sticks in my craw.
Oh, my God.
But
hot sauces.
Yeah.
Fidget spinners.
Yeah. Give Kiss a run for their merchandising money.
Oh, God.
No kidding.
So let's talk about some movies, Graham.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about, you saw The Hero. This is the Sam Elliott film.
All right, yeah, I saw the Sam Elliott. Uh-huh. So if you've seen the trailer, I'll just give you the he's a it's kind of him a little bit. It's playing a guy that was like an icon. This guy Lee Hayden. It's not a real person, but he was a Western icon. He had this one movie called The Hero. That's what he's known for.
Right.
And since then, he's just been that was like back in the 70s or something. And since then, he's just been sort of working and he's kind of floundering. Mm-hmm. So you know the movie opens with him doing voiceover, and he's like, Lone Star Barbecue Sauce, the perfect compliment for your chicken. Lee, can you do that again? Lone Star Barbecue. It's just somebody. Can you give it a couple of times? And he's like, and he does like three in a row, and he's like, did we get it? Yeah, just do it again. Do you want me to do it differently? Yeah, just do it again. Lone Star. So you're just sort of like, that's his life.
Like Lost in Translation when he's doing the...
It's a little bit like that. It's kind of like the Lost in Translation meets the Jeff Bridges singer movie that I'm blanking on.
Mm.
Crazy Heart.
It's sort of like that, but it...
I almost said Country Strong, but he doesn't kill himself at the end.
No.
The audience does.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So yeah. I wanted it to be like a Lost in Translation, Crazy Heart something. I was kind of hoping for it. The trailer, I was like, oh, this looks really cool. His girlfriend is played by Laura Pepon. How do I pronounce her?
Prepon.
All right. No reason to be a dick.
Wait, Sam Elliott's girlfriend?
Yes.
Is Laura... Aren't they decades and decades apart?
Right, so they talk about that because she like is flirty and hitting on him, and he's like, what? What is this about? You know,
right?
What do you want?
Okay.
You know, there's and he's. She's like, why do you care how old I am? How old are you? He goes, I'm 71.
What? What character does Catherine Ross play? Because they're married in real life.
Right. So she plays his ex-wife.
Okay.
So they establish very quickly. Was this icon that kind of isn't anymore, and he wasn't a great dad or a great husband. That's very much established. Kristen Ritter plays his daughter, and he goes over to Nick Offerman's house almost every day and smokes weed with him. Nick Offerman, the two of them did a TV show together.
This is in the movie?
This is in the movie. I don't know. They could have just been sitting around smoking weed at Nick Offerman's house going, we should do a movie. And it's revealed that him and Nick Offerman were on a TV show called Cattle Drive together a million years ago or something. So you're just sort of getting he's this Western icon guy, and... but he's really not happy with his life and who he was and wasn't a great dad and wasn't a great husband. And he meets Laura Prepon and she's like
a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. All smitten with him. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's established early on. This is also in the trailer, so I'm not giving this away. He has pancreatic cancer. Hmm. And he's like, I don't know if I want to tell anybody or deal with this. So he's like, what do I do with my life? And was my life, did it have any meaning? So it starts out like, oh, wow. And then her character wasn't written well enough. It's the classic complaint.
No,
a female that wasn't fleshed out. I know, it's going to sound crazy. She plays a stand-up comic. And I was like, So that I was like, oh, man. So he goes to see her perform one night. I'll give the director credit. He shot stand-up, and Ali Wong and Cameron Esposito were on the show, and he had them do their sets and just set up cameras. It wasn't that, like, when they – you can tell when they're cutting and doing different they screwed up. Set a camera up and let people do stand-up. So they did – so that was kind of accurate, and then she comes out, and it's like, oh, man. And she's trying to be an alt comic, and it's, for me, obviously, I'm like, nope.
Right.
I love her. I love Orange is the New Black.
But we're supposed to believe she's like on their level, Allie and Cameron. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so then there's this, I don't want to give too much away, but then, so when they first meet and he's like,
what's her opener? I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm like jealous of this new talent.
She had
town.
Great merch.
A good tag to put on a shirt.
Really good tag to put on a shirt. I was like,
Forever 71.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag daddy issues.
That's totally her shirt.
Right, that's her shirt. Her whole act is daddy issues. So it was really cool how they met and how you can tell she's like, smitten with him, and he's like, what? Like, literally, you're my daughter's. Like, my daughter's a couple years younger than you, you know? And so, and I was like, oh, this could be interesting, you know? And when she first said, oh, I'm a stand-up, he's like, what do you work? What do you, because she's just like, let's hang out. He's like, well, don't you have to be anywhere? Like, she goes, I'm a comic. So I was like, okay, well, that explains that.
The poverty,
right. And the daddy issues, and all of that. But then I was like, it just didn't get fleshed out enough. That relationship didn't get fleshed out.
Do they get fleshed out? Like, do they have sex?
Yeah, they kind of do that. And I'm trying not to, like, give away too much of
A sex scene.
Because I feel like...
Kind of.
Like, it's hard to see, like where could this movie go? Like, I know you don't want to give away too much because it seems like, where would the progression be of the story?
Well, that's kind of the issue, is they kind of... dangle some, oh, it might go this direction, it might go that direction, and then kind of meanders and takes too long to get there. It's a 90-minute movie, and I was getting bored.
Oh, right.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
If your movie is 93 minutes with credits,
right?
That's like, and at minute, 65, I'm like, all right.
Come on, wrap it up.
So I love Sam Elliott, and I love, but again, a lot of this ground has been covered.
Right.
Which doesn't mean you can't cover it again, but you have to cover it in an interesting or some kind of different
way.
Very important question. Sam Elliott, mustache, no mustache?
Mustache.
Oh, thank God.
That's part of the thing is then he gets invited to go to this.
Mustache Elliott?
Mustache Elliott of this, like, he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award from, like, the Western Movie Association or something. And he's like, oh, God, I don't want to go to this thing. And he brings Laura with him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, this will be a blast. And so at the thing, there's all these women like, oh, my God, I love your mustache and, all this stuff. And he's like, kisses him on the cheek. Well, there you go, darling. All right, I'm going to play this up. So, and, it obviously resonates for any of us in show business of like, oh, wow, where are we going to be 20, 30 years from now? And how are we going to, are we going to just have that one, two things we did and now we got to go Lone Star Barbecue?
Yeah. Right.
Soldier's
Crystals.
It gets an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Uh-huh. And I think that's right where this movie is. It's like a C+, B-.
Uh-huh.
Like it's okay. There's some okay performances, but it just felt like.
Didn't quite get there.
Nah, and it was a writing. It was a script problem.
Yeah.
I thought.
So.
So
it was a barbecue commercial.
It's a
another merch idea for her.
Yeah.
That 71 show.
Yeah.
71 is the new black.
That's yes. Yes, we just keep.
So yeah, I mean, it's a movie like literally. If you're on a plane, you'd go.
It's a good plane one.
Yeah, yeah. It'd get you through a 90-minute. Okay. It'd get you, you know, here to Denver, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that'd get you to Denver. Yeah.
So, all right, now this movie, we've talked about it a while ago when it first came out, but it's because it hasn't gotten wide release. Nick, you saw Tickled.
Yes. Mm.
And people keep going, oh my God, you haven't seen this. And so.
Because it's one of those discovery documentary movies where it starts out as one thing and then becomes something
yes.
else.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So without like giving away some of the business about, or like, so what, how did you come across it? What did you know before you went into it?
Right. I came across it because on my show, Not Safe, we were like just investigating any kind of weird sexual underground or fetish thing happening. And it was about a year ago, and someone was like, oh, there's like tickling, people into tickling stuff. And then my friend who I had a podcast with, Dan St. Germain, saw it and said it was like fantastic, and I trust his opinion about stuff, but he didn't give away anything. Like, I didn't know that there wasn't gonna be just about tickling. And so I thought it was like, I was like, how could a documentary about tickling be good? Like, if
compelling.
It was just, yeah. And, yeah. But I trusted that it would. And then as I was watching it last night, my boyfriend, we started, he goes, isn't this the one that gets really weird and dark? And I was like, no, yeah. He goes, I think that's another tickling documentary. I'm like, there's no other tickling documentary. He goes, was there another one that came out like 2 years ago? I'm like, no, this is it. And yeah
that's a whole genre, tickling documentary.
That just go another way. Yeah, you just got to follow it.
That was a good backpedal try.
Yeah, I know. He really tried. It was like, no, I know this is going to get weird. But it gets weird like immediately.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it grabs you in.
But so it is like, it does that thing.
It's the Dear Zachary of tickling documentaries. I'm just kidding. Have you seen Dear Zachary?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this is.
That is a, it's a sad, that was a sad joke.
Okay.
Because that, okay.
I heard.
Lots of twists and turns.
In that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then I would say.
Sorry, I know that's a spoiler in and of itself, and I'm sure you guys talk about that all the time.
That's all right, though. Like, enough people have. I think the mystique around this movie is out there enough that I think everyone sort of knows that it goes in one direction and goes somewhere else.
Yes.
Yes.
I think, I've heard that.
Like tickling.
Right.
Comes back around.
It turns funny, it gets weird.
Yeah.
So then does it do the thing that a good documentary does of you don't have to be in this world? Like it just shows you an interesting story that
yes.
and a subculture and a whatever else that is just a compelling story.
But then it goes in unexpected directions.
Yes, it's if you're not into tickling, you can be into this.
Right.
You know, like if you like aggressively hate tickling, like you can, you'll love it. Or if you love tickling, you'll probably love it too.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
So okay. Either side of the tickling fence, you're going to enjoy this film.
It's a pro or con tickling.
Yeah, whichever one you registered as, pro tickler or not. You will enjoy this one. It's pretty good. Like, it was good. I lost interest pretty quickly. I picked it because it was short and because I wanted to see it. But I lose interest in movies. I can't do movies a lot of times, if I'm going to be honest with you guys. I leave movies often at the theater and ask for my money back.
Didn't you and I walk out of a movie once? We were on
probably.
The road, and we went to something, and we were like, oh.
Did you make
it
all the way through
so
the movie,
often.
Though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Right. So score.
Score. Total score. But, yeah, I do have a problem lasting in movies.
All right. Good to know. So
and I demand my money back if it's before, like, 45 minutes.
I always get the I always just get 30. A pass and then come to see something else again. I'm like,
right.
Can I get a pass? I just get
something. Oh, yeah. Like, that, the same difference. Yeah. But people don't know you can do that.
That's a great
and they feel so embarrassed. I'm like, the girl working the box office didn't make the movie. Like, she doesn't
care. They don't care.
She's like, oh, my God, I've always liked Transformers.
Yeah, it's like, I can't believe you're asking your money back.
Oh, my God, Tom Cruise was better than Brandon Fraser in The Mummy. Like,
you can't. Like you got to go back and watch the rest of this film, young lady.
You just spit on my family's grave. How could you possibly do that? So, All right.
So
I still got to, like, I am compelled to see
it. Yeah, I definitely want to
see it. It's inspired by the dollop. by one of the early
that
episodes
was insane
Dollop.
To me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Dave and Gareth covered this topic, and the documentary filmmakers went further.
They covered the tickling fetish competition.
Yeah, it's
or
like episode 2 or 3. Yeah, of the Dollop.
Wow.
And yeah, that, I was surprised to see that as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's no way you could ever even imagine where it's going to take you.
All right.
Done. Sold.
All right.
Check
go
it
somewhere
out.
Weird. Just blame Dave Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always
As
do.
As usual.
You should. Yeah. You should always blame Dave Anthony.
So now the next movie I saw was Justice League Dark. Now, this is the second R-rated movie to come out of the DC Animated Universe feature film pipeline. Now, I'm not exactly sure what made it R. It's just as violent as the other PG-13 ones, although it wasn't nearly as disturbing as Killing Joke, because as you know, that graphic novel is very disturbing, and having it animated is even more so. I could see that one getting R. This one was more, because I think it had some horror elements in it. Whenever you add horror elements like demons and monsters and creepy, a little more blood, it goes a little bit R, even though it was animated. Now, this is one of
those
movies.
It's so arbitrary because, let's be honest, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies could all be rated R.
Easily, easily. Yeah. And this is the kind of thing, too, that this type of movie, what it was trying to do is basically introduce some of these new characters, like John Constantine, who was originally based on Sting, which makes perfect sense if you read the old comics. He looks like him, he acts like him, and
he's into tantric sex.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. So
Trudy.
And Matt Ryan.
I don't know why I know her name. Why do we all know Sting's wife's name?
And Matt Ryan plays John Constantine, who actually played him in the live-action version on the CBS show that was very short-lived, and then also as a guest star on Arrow. So this character is very interesting, and they can never seem to get him right, like in either the live-action or animated versions. Basically, what you have is a very flawed character. And then there was the Keanu Reeves movie, which was a disaster. That's still, again, all the same character, and they just can't seem to get him completely right. This was probably the closest they've gotten.
Keanu Reeves movie, that was a disaster.
I know, isn't that unbelievable?
Never said that before.
Yeah, isn't that? It's so weird. But basically, what you have is you have this flawed character who is embroiled in magic. And the theme of magic is there's always a price to pay. Like if you do something, something else has to pay the price, or you pay the price, your soul, whatever. But the thing about this character is he's such a bastard that whenever he uses magic or uses all these powers, someone else always pays the price. So that makes him this flawed, really weird, interesting character, even though he sometimes tries to, or a lot of times he tries to do the right thing, but someone else always pays for the shit that he does. Batman is shoehorned into this movie as like a tag-along character. Like, you know, you wonder, like, DC, well, you have to have Batman in it, but these stories have nothing to do with Batman. It doesn't matter. You have to put Batman in it. So literally,
see, Marvel doesn't make that mistake.
No. Like,
they didn't go, we gotta have.
You gotta have Iron Man in everything.
Iron Man's gotta be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So it was like really shoehorned in. Like, all right, the Justice League is in it for a few minutes, but then Batman is in it through the whole thing. But he doesn't do anything. He just kind of follows John Constantine and Zatanna and these other like magical characters around. So this is like the version of like when you have Doctor Strange introducing magic to the Marvel universe, this is that dark version of like introducing magic into the DC universe. It's pretty much the same thing. In fact, they're so similar sometimes, like you have Swamp Thing in DC, but you have Man Thing in Marvel, and they don't really make bones about who copied who. It's pretty obvious. So this movie, it's okay. The problem is
if it's on demand, by the way.
It's on demand. Okay. It's on demand. It's okay. It's definitely one of the better movies than the live action stuff that we've been seeing out of DC, obviously, with the exception of Wonder Woman. But it doesn't focus in to these characters, which it really should. It shoehorns Batman and some of the other characters in that don't need to be there. Like a good example of one of these movies that was Assault on Arkham, where you had a Suicide Squad movie and Batman was a secondary supporting character. Mm-hmm. They got it completely wrong in this, where Batman wasn't even a supporting character. He was just literally drawn in every shot, not doing anything like that. Like, what do you don't have? Then don't put Batman in there. You don't have
he's
to have
looming
Batman
in the corner.
Yeah, he's literally
Do they just like pull up and there's the Batmobile? Like, oh, he's probably close.
Yeah. And every once in a while, there's just a shot of him going, like disapproving growl because it's magic and he doesn't like magic. So So it was definitely
he does. Batman doesn't like magic.
Yeah, yeah. He's like
so. Theatricality and deception are powerful agents. That doesn't.
We doesn't like real magic.
Oh,
yes.
Because that's the. So this is some sort of Christian themed one.
Yes. So it was a weird movie. It was it's okay. It's not a horrible movie, but it's also
you're watching it sound horrible.
Yeah, there's parts of it where you're looking at it and you're going like, well, what an odd choice creatively to do that. If you're going to concentrate on Justice League Dark and these dark magical characters, you don't have to shoehorn in all these other characters.
A disgruntled Batman.
Yeah, like a disgruntled Batman.
Middle management Batman.
And then you see too. It's
wait,
like,
all corporate sees this.
A good example is like, you know, when you have those B sci-fi movies and you have the one star who's in it for 5 minutes, but they're on the cover. And then that's just to sell the movie. That's what this is like. So Batman is prominently on the cover.
Oh, wow.
But he doesn't really do much in the movie. So it could have been a really cool vehicle to kind of introduce everyone to John Constantine properly, but it didn't quite get there. So it's okay. It's definitely worth a look. It's a plain movie for sure. But it doesn't. You definitely end up wanting more for it, and you also you end up talking to the screen a couple times, going, "Why doesn't Batman do something?"
He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, John, it's your problem.
Yes.
Clean it
yeah.
up.
No, I'll just. All right, where are you going? I'll follow
I have
you.
To do
all
everything
right.
Around here.
Yeah. I don't like magic.
Oh, great. Yes. We're out of coffee.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking asshole.
So,
you kids wouldn't leave your crap around yeah. the goddamn bad cave. I wouldn't have been.
So, I don't know. It's one of those movies that you might like it, you may not. Yeah, and it's interesting how, like, Guillermo
del Toro. Ask your mother.
Guillermo del Toro is producing and originally directing. He was supposed to be a previous live-action adaptation of Justice League Dark under the working title of Dark Universe. Ooh, everyone should be using the words God. Dark Universe now. But this animated film was based on an old script for Dark Universe. And I think that's one of the problems. It's based on an old script for something else. So
Those always work.
So it's okay. Right in the middle.
All right. Well, now we've talked about this movie before, but Snatch. But so, Nikki, you've seen it numerous times, and did you see different incarnations of
it? I did.
Okay, so what?
An interesting.
Did you see a rough cut too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw. Well, I think I saw. It was. Yeah, I did see a rough cut, but the one I remember it had. Can I say if there was another? I can say that, right? If they cut a whole character,
sure. Yeah. Of course.
Pierce Brosnan was in it.
What?
Really?
Yeah, had a whole storyline.
Wow.
As a.
Did he like magic?
Yeah. He just sat around he was just at the resort. Who wants to go swimming now?
So he was in when Goldie and Amy get locked up the first time, he is just an old man in the corner that's been there forever. Just oh, and he has this great beard on.
Oh, that
and you can't
hilarious.
Tell who it is at all.
Yeah.
Where you're just oh, there's this skinny, withered old man that doesn't speak. And then.
Is this punishment for being in Mamma Mia?
He's been in there.
Yeah.
You're going to Mamma Mia bad movie jail?
And then they never really meet him. And then Goldie gets locked up on her own while Amy's doing something else. And she is with him again in that cell or whatever. And then at the end, Goldie's Amy comes to get her. And she's hold on, I have to go get someone. And she runs back in and she comes out with the guy, Tom, on her shoulders, just running down the stairs carrying this old man, gets in the back seat, and they're like, "We saved Tom." And then the next day, it ends. The movie ends the way we saw it. They're dancing on a vacation.
Spoiler
again.
Alert.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. Yeah, that is really not good. Sorry. I'm so stupid.
It's all right.
I'm not stupid, but I'm just ignorant about this podcast.
It's all right.
And okay. So I'm just trying not to call myself stupid so much. Okay. So
that's dumb.
I'm so stupid for even trying to not say that I'm stupid.
Oh, if only Batman were, stop calling yourself stupid.
Anyway, there is an alternate ending where the guy shows up, and you know it's going to be someone, and it is Pierce Brosnan. And then Goldie and him have a, kind of a thing where they're like...
And they cut out his whole storyline.
Whole storyline.
So why, from seeing that to the final version, what was it, just like a time issue? What do you
think? It was a time issue. Yeah, and it was... yeah, it was interesting because I think they did it like right before. Like, and so... Yeah, I like saw Amy say to Goldie, like, did you talk to Pierce yet? Like, and she's like, yeah, he's fine. Like, but it was just right before. And it was, it for me, it was a big cut, like a cut that I wanted back in. Like, I would have loved to see it again.
Maybe director's cut on the DVD, they'll
probably
add him back in.
Yeah.
The Brosnan cut?
The Brosnan cut. That sounds like a way to... circumcise. I want my son to have the Brosnan cut.
That's going to cost you extra.
It's a classy one. It makes your guy tall and handsome. Since you were sort of privy to the process, like how was it in terms of just from your being friends with Amy or whatever, like her. Like the shooting of it, and was she happy with the overall process of it?
Yes, she had a blast doing it, and they took us. I'm not really sure what happened with the script, but I think it was Katie Dippold wrote it, and then Amy and her sister kind of rewrote it, but I think writing went to Katie. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had a great time shooting it, and she got really sick during it.
Oh, wow. Where did they shoot it?
In Hawaii.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and. What was the thing that I was going to say about it? It didn't do well on Rotten Tomatoes or with critics, and I think it's just, I think they're wrong, and I'm not just saying that as a person, as her friend. I think it's so hard to make a comedy that has a lot of laugh out loud moments, which this one did. And, I don't know what they expect. It made me not trust Rotten Tomatoes, which I know we're not supposed to, maybe. Are we?
I don't trust the critics overall with comedy.
The problem with Rotten Tomatoes is that it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
Yes.
Like it's either loved it or hated it. If you're lukewarm, like, well, I kind of liked it, there's no rating for that.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the problem. It's binary. It's one or zero.
Yes. And I just think that there was some kind of like alt-right kind of spin on this one that they just don't like. I think it was a feminist issue. I think they don't like women. People don't like women, and that this
all people don't like women.
No, I mean I think they like gave us a pass with Bridesmaids, and they're like, don't do it again though.
Yeah.
Like we let you have one comedy where we said, this is great, and same with Trainwreck. I mean, like there were a lot. I just think that this one was deliberately. Panned for reasons other than the movie, I think.
Really?
Something else at play. Yeah. I think that there's a backlash on Amy right now anyway.
Yeah, there is.
And I'm very sensitive to it because I get on message boards and like fight with people and create fake accounts to like argue with. Like I'm vigilante about combating these idiots. But I think that that kind of like fed into it. And I think it's going to be a comedy that people like go back to and are going to like really love.
Yeah, I've seen.
That's weird that there's ignorance on the internet.
No.
I know,
just
right?
Just probably just one page.
It was just that page.
Yeah. Just the one.
Just the snatched review.
I still have the theory that it's just five people with supercomputers that just go through, that literally go through everything. And that's where all the comments come from.
I think, I don't deny that any of those things were in play.
Yeah.
But I also would say in general, when it comes to comedy movies, I can't read reviews because I've seen critics just be, we're comics, so we have a different point of view about it. I've just seen critics miss funny, like really funny. Well, they've just missed it, and I've seen them go, "This is a great one." It's like that's the dumbest thing.
Totally.
So I just like.
I think you're right. It's so hard for critics to like. Yeah, I'm not gonna like the same movies that movie critics are gonna like comedically, and I think that you're right. Like. It makes me think of, like, heads of studios choosing what shows go and which jokes in shows go. And you're like, why are you deciding?
You have the worst. You should not be in charge
exactly.
of this at all.
And these critics are in charge of whether something is funny or not and have no skill to determine that.
None at all.
Welcome to the entertainment industry.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's interesting, though. That's interesting to see. I'd love to see the two versions.
Do you think it would have done better if it came out after Wonder Woman?
Possibly. I mean, I think that stuff does matter. I think it would have done better if it came out right after Trump won. Like, I think these things, like it, there would have been a surge of women being like, we got to go support women. I think the timing is, like, so important. But I don't know. I just think that if it would have come out before her Netflix special, let's say, that people said she stole material, which she didn't, and there was all this dumb stuff going around. Like, I think that affected it. There's, so, you know, it's stupid.
You know, when you get to a certain point, fame-wise, male or female sometimes, there always seems to be inevitable backlash of some form or another.
Yes.
Especially if you get really hot really quickly.
Yeah.
It really seems like it's, okay, well, now you're a target.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, especially comedically, there's a we're sick of you. Like
yes.
When you're the comic that suddenly is
when
everywhere.
Will Ferrell like got famous and was in 100 horrible movies at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's enough.
Everyone's
of Will Ferrell.
Sick of him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think also someone who's a comedian that in 2015 was on everything. Amy was on everything. And then also having political views that people are upset about and saying things that are controversial because she's a comedian gets a lot more heat, and then people can turn on her much more easily. But, like, yeah, you didn't make it unless people have a backlash against you.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Right.
I mean, it's just inevitable. And then we'll build her back up, and we'll.
Well, then they'll
bring
do some.
Back down.
Yeah. Well, right, exactly. They'll tear her down, and then they'll be like, oh, she's hit rock bottom. And then everyone will, you know, oh, the media and everybody will be like, oh, she's making a comeback.
Exactly.
And celebrate her. And it's like,
well, she didn't
go
anywhere. You're
the worst.
Right.
You're the worst.
She's smart about it, though, because I talked to her about it, because it's insane to see my friend become one of the most famous women, arguably, in America. Like, stars.
She's one of the most famous comedians in America.
Ever.
Like, yes.
Like, right now, like, it's crazy. And it's, but she was like, she knew it the whole time. She was like, there's going to be a backlash. This isn't going to last forever. And I'm going to make all the money I can during this heat time. So
right.
That's why she did everything.
And invest
and now,
in Bitcoins.
Exactly. And now she's kind of incubating and spending her fucking dough. And she'll be back. She's writing stuff. But, like, yeah, she's aware of what was going to happen.
More people.
More than I was.
Are not aware.
Yeah.
And I think. I mean, I've seen some comics and this happens all the time. They get their show and then they're all cocky. And it's just like, I remember joking, some comic, this guy was all like, blah, blah. And I was like, you'll be fine, man. Shows never get canceled. And he just stopped and looked at me and I was like,
did he believe you?
He kind of was like, and I go, and he kind of stopped for a second and almost was like, yeah. And then he kind of realized, oh, and I was like,
oh
yeah,
my God.
They can take, traditional media gives you the show. They give you the movie.
But they own it.
They can take it the fuck back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they can pull that shit away with you. And if you're not smart with your money.
You can be cast on Lord of the Rings and get sent back home.
Did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Stuart Townsend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Stuart Townsend.
Stuart Townsend, yeah. He got replaced
Mortensen.
By Viggo Mortensen after shooting began. In fact, Jack Black made a joke about it when he was shooting King Kong with.
Peter Jackson
saying, all right, I better bring my A game. I know I can be replaced on day one. So
the story I always think about, and they should like teach it in show business school, is like, so I grew up watching the Flip Wilson show, and it was like, oh, wow, he was hilarious. I thought he was great. And then I read the story as I got older. He took the money from that show, like put it in the bank in investments, and just lift all the interest. He bought a moderate house. He didn't go $20 million bling bling, and
right.
He's like, I'm good.
Yes.
And like, he goes, if I buy the $20 million house and everything goes belly up, then what, you know, then I have to be doing
then
Flip Wilson
what?
In Vegas for the rest
yes.
of my life
and,
or whatever.
And you got to sell the $20 million house.
Oh, that house is gone.
God.
And then you're Nick Cage.
Right.
But no, but yeah. I heard that story and I was like, wow. And it was like, he goes, and also then, he didn't have to take the shitty projects to support the famous A-list life.
Yes.
He did what he wanted. He was like, oh, I'll go be on the Carol Burnett show because I'm friends with them and it's fun.
So,
you know,
right.
I mean, the
That's
lesson
such a
here
good story.
Is
Alan Alda.
It doesn't even matter if you're in entertainment or not. Manage your money properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not taught. I mean, that's not taught in America. We're taught to be fucking workers and consumers
yes.
in this country.
I mean,
even if you work in a lumber mill, manage your money properly.
Money. Yeah,
if you make $40,000 a year and you spend 30, you're going to be okay. If you make $2 million a year and spend 3, guess what?
Yeah, but so often.
You're
going to
be even you're going to be even better shape because the government will take care of you.
Yeah, don't worry. They got you.
Well, if you're a bank, you'll get bailed out.
Yeah,
you'll be
don't
fine.
Worry. You'll be fine. You won't have to pay any of that. So we're talking about ad reads now.
Guess what? The only ad read revenue.
We only have one right now, and that's our Patreon ad, Mike Valdez, who is MikeValdez.com, comic and musician. Check out his stuff. And we just got a new patron at the ad tier, and he will come online next month after that, because that's how it works.
Yeah, once you for the Patreon, if you I guess they call it pledge this month, you won't get charged till the first of next month, and then once you're charged, then you'll get your whatever your rewards are.
Right.
So one of the things you get at the $50 level is you get your name read like Mike Valdez, who is MikeValdez.com.
Every single episode.
Boom. That's worth it.
Yes. So now we're talking about trailers. Now, this is a remake, Flatliners. When I saw this remake, I'm like, they're not really remaking this movie, are they? I mean, it's not like the first one was so amazing. They were like, we need to make this again.
And, remember that movie from the late 80s, early 90s?
Pack.
Oh, wow.
And also I remember, too, like, well, maybe they'll do something different or interesting with it. No. No, it looks like the exact same movie. Although I am waiting to see where the Kiefer Sutherland cameo is going to be. Any rumors on that?
Yeah, he might. I mean, there was someone famous as the doctor that is like their teacher, the professor.
That has to be.
It's got
to
be.
Yeah, it's got to be him. Somebody in there. Yeah. Like we were talking about. It's weird that Julia Roberts passed on the remake.
I watched this and I just went, oh, they got an old Final Destination script.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, it definitely
exactly
turned
like
into
it.
That.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. Do you think they'll merchandise those head things that they're wearing that make them go into sleep?
Loved it.
Oh, that'd
Coachella.
Be great.
Yeah. Next year.
Who wants to die for 3 minutes at Coachella?
That'll be cool. Some band will start calling them flatlineys, and then that's how you know you're like a fan.
And the
of
audience
like,
dies for 3 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Drum solo. I'm in. Maybe this is more Burning Man. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Are we marketing this?
No
correctly?
One's a spectator.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
So wow, finally after 1990 we're finally getting a remake.
Joel Schumacher, Kevin Bacon, just a great director.
William Baldwin, Oliver Platt, so many people were in this movie.
Yeah, I can't get excited about this.
The next movie is a bunch of, as Jackie Cation would say, a bunch of accents and haircuts. Goodbye Christopher Robin. This is the story of how Winnie the Pooh was created and how it was based on the author's son.
I thought it was
son.
Another Ted movie.
Yeah.
World War One, post-World War One Ted movie. That'd be great. He was upper crust British guy, and then he got, let's go get laid or whatever.
A wisecracking bear.
Yeah.
But this really feels like a Finding Neverland kind of story, like movie, like what was really going on with the author when he created these, this masterpiece that made him very, very famous until Disney took over all of the rights. And I wonder if it'll, how far into the future it'll get to, will we get to see some of the embroiled rights issues that Disney is fighting
will
with?
this English World War One vet's battle with Disney, like when he fought the Kaiser? There's a World War One reference. Thank you guys so much.
Leave that to women. this movie, though, it doesn't, like, just from the trailer, it didn't seem to be any, there's no conflict. I'm seeing, where does it get, the only thing was the kid was like, I thought this was what we were playing.
Yeah.
Like, it seems the big...
The kid sues his dad for the rights?
The kid just wants more playtime, and he's Daddy, you're ignoring me.
And it's like, no, we're doing both. I'm going to make a living off of our playtime.
But the kid then seems happy. Like, I feel like there wasn't anything.
Yeah, I don't know where the conflict is exactly in this movie. Like I said, if we get into the Disney rights issues later, maybe that's where we go to.
I think the conflict is going to be in the constant dealing with the aftermath of World War One, because it was such an awful trench warfare thing.
Christopher Robin wants his heart stopped for 2 minutes to see what happens.
Right.
So
that's
I think that could also be what happens.
With his Coachella hat.
Yes.
And then Batman's in the background. It's just
magic.
Disgruntled Batman.
So on DVD and Blu-rays, we have Life. Like I said, this was the movie that if you couldn't wait for Aliens to come out, you would go see Life. And the next one is Wilson. This was the Woody Harrelson movie where he finds out he has a daughter and he's not the best dad.
This was the I didn't see this. It was low budget. It was a limited release. I know they were trying to make an Oscar push with it, so I never.
Yeah, it's one to check out on an airplane.
Did you see it, Aaron?
No. It struck me as like Woody Harrelson's About Schmidt.
Mm. Yeah, it did have that feel for
like
sure.
It's kind of the road. He's on the road a little bit.
Okay. So,
and the cover of it looks like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It's almost like the same marketing department.
And on the site spotlight today, there's, like we said, Neil Weekly's film news is there. And I glanced at it. We'll be talking about more about this on the upcoming show that we'll be doing with Neil. Is the mummy finger pointing has already begun on where the disaster of this movie was. And interestingly, a lot of the fingers are pointing towards Tom Cruise.
No.
Which bothers me because it gets Alex Kurtzman off the hook. And that disturbs me the most after everything. Like, even if it was Tom Cruise's fault, I want Alex Kurtzman to take the blame for this.
We had... Alex Kurtzman, we should blame him for a lot of stuff.
So
why are they blaming Tom Cruise? What's
for a creative control on everything, like everything from the way shots would look.
That's the way he is
that's
with
what
everything.
He is, though. He comes in with his Scientology
team. His
team,
quote team, yeah.
I hear that like sometimes he's like, you know, he wants to do all his own stunts and they're like, we could have gotten this done in one day, but because he wants to do it, it's going to take 3 weeks.
Really?
I've heard that from... reputable source.
Ooh.
That doesn't surprise me. Just that airplane scene. Like, they were bragging about how long it took.
I want to say there was a... we got a comment about the... Since you bring up the mummy. Uh-huh. Cameron Grimsley at the real Cammy _G said on Twitter, Graham Elwood, Chris Mancini, it wasn't good, but exactly what I expected, and I had fun. I think you guys were too hard on the mummy. No. You're too soft.
Well,
the mummy.
And this goes to also pointing towards like if after you've listened to us talk about it, or even if you listen to the spoiler up and then you went to see it, your expectations would have been so low that you might have actually found the movie watchable. But I will say this, you still shouldn't have.
It was still a
terrible film.
And if you heard the spoiler app and thought your tweet was going to turn us around,
we still did not like his
face. I would want to just stare at his face the whole time. Is it very taut?
Oh, Tom Cruise's
face? Yeah, like how's he
looking? Also wonder, too.
Yeah,
like,
he looks good. I mean, he's got a...
Again, it gets to that control of like when he's being shot, especially in close-ups, you know, he's picking the lens, the filters, everything. He's picking every single thing that has to do with how he looks on film.
And he has his own makeup artist.
I hear he sleeps upright so that his face doesn't like
Nosferatu
onto the pillow. Yes, literally. He sleeps like sitting.
In a coffin?
Because when you sleep on the pillow, that wrinkles your face a lot.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope it is.
I hope it is, too. I think it's
be great.
That's dedication.
Or maybe he sleeps upside down.
That would actually be the best.
Yeah.
Because that would
get the blood flowing through your face.
Would, yeah.
Make you
that
look
would
younger.
Lift.
Yeah. So, check out the mummy finger pointing. That's all over the web.
Mummy pointing?
Yep. So, and also, premiering this week, Transformers: The Last Night. Oh my God! Neither Graham or I have any desire to see this film, so I hope you guys enjoy it.
The only way to save the franchise, bring some fucking knights into it.
Yeah. That's what King you have to Arthur do to myth. Save the franchise. Bring knights and do time travel. Fantastic, even better. So I don't know, Graham. Are we going to see this to make it a spoiler ep?
No. We might.
We might
do a spoiler wrap.
All right.
What's the Patreon? What's the Patreon tier to make you go see it?
$10,000. That's $10,000. We will go see The Last Night.
Because our next spoiler rep is actually going to be War Machine with Jimmy Dore. That'll actually be a really cool one.
That'll be very interesting.
But we promised you guys two a month.
You're getting them.
You're going to get them.
But
we didn't say which two.
But we're going to do the movie I would really recommend, just from the trailers that I've seen, is The Big Sick. This is Kumail Nanjiani and Emily V. Gordon. Emily's been on the show.
Yes.
Both of them have been in PodFest. This is basically about their life.
Yeah.
Huge, huge acquisition deal. Millions of dollars Amazon bought this for.
Really?
Yeah, at a film festival. I think it was at Sundance or was, I think it was Park City.
Yeah, I think so.
But it was, they bought it for millions of dollars.
It's, the trailer is very funny. And
might have been South by Southwest.
South by?
Yeah.
But it really...
Either way, they got the money.
Yeah. The two of them wrote it together. She doesn't play the girlfriend in it. He obviously plays himself. And
right.
There's funny stuff in there. And it's one of those things where...
It's based on a true story.
It's based on a true story. It's based on their life. So it feels very authentic. It doesn't feel like, oh, make this joke. It's like, no, this was the dinner I had with my Pakistani family. And they did say these things. And his family did say, and Ray Romano.
He looks amazing. And I can't wait.
He looks great in it.
Yeah.
Like there's this funny.
It's a limited release too. So it might be hard to find. But rest assured, it'll be on Amazon soon enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which now you can get organic produce. Because they bought Whole Foods.
they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I this is a movie I would definitely go check out and support because it's...
Please do.
It looks like awesome. Mm-hmm. Everything that's good about independent filmmaking.
So, all right. Well, that is our show. And we want to talk about, support the Patreon. That's really been helping us out, guys. We're at $1,100. We're getting really close to that next goal. We're only 800 and some away from 2,000. And that will help us stabilize the company, get us more content for you guys. We're talking about launching new podcasts and doing all sorts of really cool different things. But we just really need your support and help for that.
And also, the more infrastructure we can get, there's a lot of feature film. I mean, we have several feature scripts that we're out there shopping around. We want to do more feature production because Earbuds has been a cool thing.
That's going to be out in the world come the fall. We're looking at a September wide release for that with a distributor.
We don't have a specific date yet, but Comedy Dynamics is talking about late August, early September. Yep. When we get the wide date,
it'll as we know, you'll know.
You'll know. It's going on all the platforms.
But the Patreon for sure has been a lifeblood for us. So it's been really, really helping us. So
it's helping us sleep upright like Tom
Cruise.
It's really
yes. And finger point.
Because you have to have someone watch you sleep and wake you up if you ever slump over.
Yeah,
so you have to hire someone.
Of course.
It's costly.
When I hire a person in a Batman costume,
grumble
sleep
when
sleep normal.
Yeah. Tom Cruise has a sleep wrangler. He does.
He absolutely does.
So please support the Patreon. Like we said, there's a lot of cool stuff at the $2, $5, and $10 levels.
Mm-hmm. Bonus stuff. Yeah. Any more stuff.
And then there's some physical rewards at the 30. We had a couple 30s come in, and then you get the ad read at 50.
And then of course you get the whole video of this episode is available only on the Patreon. The clips we put up on the regular YouTube channel, so start supporting the YouTube channel, which is cool. And then you get all the bonus
stuff.
So
it's definitely worth it. We want to make more stuff for you guys. We just need your help.
Yes. Speaking of help, that's a horrible segue. That doesn't make any speaking of help. Nikki, where can people find you? Where are your shows, the internet?
I will be at the ID10T Festival, Chris Hardwick's festival at the Shoreline Theater in Palo Alto, I think, this weekend. I'll be in Kansas on the 28th at the Lawrence Art Center in Lawrence, Kansas, as part of the Free State Festival. And then I'll be in Denver at Comedy Works in late July.
Nice.
Yes.
Outstanding. Where can people find you? A website or?
NikkiGlazer.com.
Boom.
Boom.
All right. He's
boom.
Boom.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 375.
In the books.
Lock
Mark
it down.
Wow.
Hop it, make it sleep upright.
Yeah. It's better for its skin.
Really, make this episode sleep upright. You know, and don't practice magic, guys. It's the devil's workshop.
It makes Batman grumpy.
Don't make Batman grumpy, guys. Nobody wants a grumpy Batman. Thank you to everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters that the people at Soapbox don't know exists.
Yes.
Brent, who did our social media, big shout out to him. Aaron Brungart on the ones and twos. Aaron, anything exciting you want to announce to the people?
I'm just happy that there's two Cardinals fans in this room right now.
Oh,
not me.
How about
just
that?
Kidding. I am. Are you from St. Louis?
No, but
You just like the Cardinals?
Fan. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
well,
so
anyway,
this is I like the bird, the Cardinal.
Yeah,
but not
like,
the baseball team.
Yeah, I like literally like the animal more than the team.
That's so fantastic. Cool. So really only one, Aaron.
Shut up.
Yeah. Go Cubs, bitches. You're reigning World Series champions. Sleep upright, Cubs. You need to play better.
Yes.
Too much 500 ball, fellas. Stop practicing magic, and let's just get in the goddamn batting cages.
Ball, strike, sleep upright.
All right, thank you, Nikki Glaser.
Thank you.
For being on our program.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first. The magic.